Kyle, I've got the solution to our dreary, dreary evenings. We can we can pop a little magic mind and get a little pick me up and still go to sleep, just enough to give us some clarity of mind, a little creativity, get the creative juices flowing, maybe give you one or two before the podcast, you know, to really focus you in. What do you think of that?
Asleep during one podcast and all of a sudden that's your problem. But yeah, absolutely. The worst thing you want to do is, you know, brew a pot of coffee at middle of the night right before a podcast.
Yeah.
Then you're up the entire evening. What you need is good, sustained energy, clarity of mind, not, you know, a jolt of caffeine that hurts your body and all these things. Absolutely. And Magic Mind does all that stuff and has that. Okay. Matcha. I want to talk about matcha, Drew.
Okay. All right.
The green vegetable matcha, that buzzword, that superfood. I didn't think I'd like matcha. I am starting to like matcha. And that's one of the big key ingredients here is that lovely green superfood that has the benefits of all the keeping you going.
Yeah. And it's cool stuff. It's pricey. Matcha is. But they stick it in this with some great other ingredients, all natural stuff. But you can get it through us with our code. So we want you to check out this Magic Mind Elixir. Check this out. It is, go to magicmind.co/comicsfunprofit.
And elixir really is the perfect word for it. It's a nice little elixir. It's very cool.
For sure. If you feel you want to try this out, go to magicmind.co/comicsfunprofit and use our code. You can get 20% off of an initial one-time purchase or up to 56% off of a subscription. So if this sounds good to you, go to magicmind.co/comicsfunprofit and use our code CFP. You can get up to 56% off your subscription for the next 10 days with the code CFP. Or you can just use that discount code, CFP, at magicmind.co/comicsfunprofit to get 20% off a one-time purchase. Just a sample, dip your toe, check it out.
Aloha, it's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be interviewing comic book creators Waverly Lynn and Caitlin Fajlin. Caitlin, how do you pronounce it?
It's like fajita and flan.
Fajilin. That's such a great combo.
Yeah.
They are here to talk about Cuento Comics and their latest Kickstarter, The Mask of Halea, Hair to the Warrior Moon. Now, Waverly, did I pronounce the title of the Kickstarter correctly?
Beautiful. The Mask of Halea, Heir to the Warrior Moon, volume one of our series.
Thank you. Now, this Kickstarter is live and will end on Thursday, November 2nd. Now, we here at Comics for Fun and Profit are hoping we can release this interview before then. But Waverly and Caitlin, I made it clear to them that, you know, one of the reasons why I wanted to do this interview was to promote Cuento Comics and hopefully to inspire young female Asian comic book artists that have dreams of wanting to work in the comic book industry. And I'm not just talking about Marvel and DC. I'm sure that's always the end game, but at least to work in the comic book field. Now, this Kickstarter project is already reached its goal already, and it's got the seal of approval from Kickstarter as one of the quote-unquote projects we love. Waverly, Caitlin, welcome to the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Wonderful. Thank you for having us.
Doing good.
No, thank you very much. Now, listeners, now during the interview, you know, we'll be using the term Filipina. Now, that means a female person of Filipino descent. Please forgive me because if I may accidentally sometimes just say Filipino during the interview because it's a term basically I'm just more familiar with while growing up. Waverly, Caitlin, please correct me if I misuse that word. So just like I said, just please feel free to correct me at any time.
I think you're totally fine. Filipino is always meant to refer to gender. Mm-hmm. So you can say, I mean, I'm fine with it. You can say,
yeah,
you know,
say
split hairs over that.
Yeah. No, but thank you very much. Thank you. Now I'm going to go over some of Caitlin and Waverly's professional work history, and you guys have an amazing resume. It's incredible. Now I'm going to start off with Waverly. Waverly is the co-founder and chief operating officer of Quento Comics. She graduated from the UCLA School of Theater, Film, and Television in a BA in theater. Waverly is an actress, stunt person, dancer. I think there are a couple other things. And I got this from your website. And then you were a hip hop dancer in Miami and have appeared in music videos for artists such as Florida and Daddy Yankee.
Florida and Daddy Yankee. Jason did his digging. I love it.
And then also, Waverly, you and Caitlin were in a short horror film together called Legeem that came out in 2017. Is that where you first time you guys met, or have you guys known each other before then?
Yeah, we had met in a Filipino American entertainment creative organization that we were all a part of, and we ended up having the privilege to work on that short together, where we were able to get to know each other better. And that's kind of around the time when we were birthing the idea of our company that is now here today. So yeah, in a small cabin in Idlewild, California, where the dog is a mayor.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that.
And I thought that was the coolest fun fact about this town.
It was a really fun trip. It was kind of a road trip. We ended up being in the same car. And that's so her mom, Cecilia, she said she had a film fest. I said, oh, I made this film. And she said, oh, that was my favorite. So then, you know, we got to talking a few later.
Was a fan.
A few months later, she reached out about.
That's pretty cool. Now, Caitlin, you are the head writer of The Mask of Halea. You have attended the University of California, Santa Barbara, where you were accepted into their prestigious Bachelor of Fine Arts program in acting. You have studied classical singing and is an actor both on stage and screen. Some of your stage work is impressive. You've done Shakespeare's Hamlet to Broadway musicals Aida. And correct me if I'm wrong, because when I will check your website, because you were the star of Aida. Is that correct? Did I get that correct?
At my school, yes. In college, for people kind of revamped color casting in theater, where you could kind of just play anyone at the time. It was a while ago. Aida, the role of Aida is American.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. But yeah, back then I played that character.
No, because I'm just saying, because that's impressive. Because correct me if I'm wrong, because it's not because I always thought that Aida was more of an opera performance.
It is an opera. I think it's an opera by Verdi, but around 2000s and definitely Elton John, they decided to make a Broadway out of it.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Now, also, Caitlin has appeared in Lifetime movie, Lifetime television movie, Flirting with Madness. You have, and also you did a lead role in a comedy film feature called The Sex Addict in 2017. Is that correct?
I wasn't a lead. I was just a small role in that. And Flirting with Madness actually got to a film called The Bride.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just super small roles. These are very small roles. Anyone big at all.
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
No, the Flirting with Madness, the changing to title is like, oh, okay. Yeah,
that was like the beta title. It ended up being The Bride.
Okay. All right. Now, you also play musical. You play the violin, the flute, you play the piano. You are skilled in a number of dialects. Now, one of the dialects, now correct me if I'm wrong, is received pronunciation. And I looked this up, and there are at least two or three actors whose names has come up. One is Jeremy Iron, Ben Kingsley, Helen Mirren. And I also have to comment, I saw you, because on your website, you have your audition tape for Julius Caesar.
Oh, you saw that. I forgot about that.
I have to say, that's very impressive.
Oh my gosh.
And when you went into the British accent, it's like, holy cow.
That's amazing. Well, I just took a class in college, so mm-hmm. they had you learn a bunch of accents. That's yeah. why I just put it on my resume. Yeah,
lots of dialects.
I can't say I'm an expert in any of them, but if need be, I can, you know, pull that out for like.
Yeah, but no, but that's impressive. Okay, Waverly, Caitlin, did I miss anything? Because I'm kind of like trying to, yeah. Did I miss anything? Do you guys want to add anything?
That's us.
Coming movies coming out.
it's all good. yeah.
Unfortunately, we're still in a strike, so no current stuff that we have going on at the moment, other than the fun stuff, I guess, that we're doing at Quento.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now, before we gain a little bit more into the interview, I want to give a big shout out to Hannah Behedry of Superfan Promotion for setting up this interview. Caitlin, Waverly, would you guys like to add anything to that?
Yes. Thank you to Superfan and Clover Press.
Yeah. I haven't met you guys officially yet, but thank you for all the work.
Hopefully you'll meet them next week at our...
Are you also at the party?
Yes. We're doing a Kickstarter countdown to the last few hours of our Kickstarter at Cafe 86 in Northridge, which is a Filipino bakery out here in LA. So we're super excited about that, and we'll have Team Quento, Clover, and Super. So.
Oh, that's gonna be forgive me, because I'm gonna ask, do you guys love, no, correct me if I'm wrong, entomadas, Filipino?
Oh my gosh, entomadas. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Delish.
Okay.
I had the best in my Lolo's hometown, which was in Bacolod. They do baked goods the best. Sugar and bread there is just amazing.
A lot of bad stuff.
Yes, yes, but
my diet goes out of the window. Yeah, it just leaves when I go to the Philippines, but that's okay.
All right. Sorry. Okay. Also, too, I got some information, as I mentioned, you know, from Caitlin and Waverly's website. I also got some information from the Fan Base Press article titled, now this is a long one, Fan Base Press Interviews Quento Comics Waverly Lim on launching a Kickstarter campaign for the mask of Hylia, Hair to the Warrior Moon, in collaboration with Clover Press. And this interview was done by a friend of the podcast, Barbara Dillon. If you guys get a chance, please check out that article. It came out on October 13th of this year, 2023. Now, Waverly, Caitlin, whoever wants to go first, where can people follow you on social media, and where can people follow Quento Comics?
You can find me at Waverly Lim on all platforms, as well as at Quento Comics. That's Quento Comics on Instagram, Twitter. Well, I guess it's X now. I can't get used to that. Facebook, TikTok, all that good stuff.
You can find me at Faye. That's on Instagram and TikTok.
Okay. All right. So I'm just going to ask a couple questions about your comic book origins. So Caitlin, I'm going to start with you first. You know, what comics, manga or comic Sunday newspaper strips did you read while growing up?
I think my earliest big old hardcover bound volume of Bible stories that my mom used to read me every night. It was like from the 70s. And there I kind of got into, you know, so I kind of discovered manga, Japanese comics, Sailor Moon, Cardcaptor Sakura, Evangelion, what else? I kind of graduated into slightly because I was in manhwa and webtoon, but getting Brian K. Vaughan saga and just a lot of Monstrous, that sort of thing. I'm like drawing blanks, but yeah. Pokemon, there we go. Early Pokemon before the show came out, when it was just like in Japanese and stuff, the paperbacks, the black and white ones.
That's a great selection. Oh, thank you.
A lot more extensive than mine, Caitlin, that's for sure.
you're not writing it, so it's fine. Don't worry about it.
So, Waverly, what about you?
So I actually did not have the privilege of growing up reading a lot of comics. However, my family was filled with all of the nerddoms. So all growing up, we were going to every superhero fantasy, all the ones based off, you know, comics and graphic novels and whatnot. First in line for all the superhero movies. But I will say that the first like comic, now that I'm thinking about it, that like strip that I'd ever read was, because you said newspaper, was probably when I went to take your kid to work day with my dad, and he had Dilbert Galore strips from the newspapers all in his cubicle. So I have probably the first comic that I really ever read as a kid, funny enough. But I think that's actually kind of funny, because me being a comic book owner now and not having really grown up necessarily reading them as a kid has allowed for me to come in with a new fresh perspective and find it more in my adult life, which has been really exciting as well. And kind of just shows that you can pick up and explore a new art form anytime later on in life as well, which is a very liberating feeling.
No, but that's very true. That's very true. That's really good, because you don't carry all the baggage of the comics that you read and the tropes and all the storylines. You know, it's like you said, you come in with a new and fresh perspective, and that's very good. It is. So thank you very much for answering that. Okay, so I'm going to just jump right in. Quento Comics, I'm going to read your mission statement, because I love it. So our mission is to create stories that introduce Filipino and other Asian mythology through a riveting contemporary fantasy comic book series. Our stories aim to inspire young women everywhere as they follow our female heroines who learn to spark the warrior godness within. Our hope is that our readers will be inspired to face the future with hope, compassion, and grace born from an understanding of the past and the struggles of our ancestors. Now, Kaylin, you mentioned, actually, no, I'm sorry, Waverly, you mentioned that basically in 2017, that's when Quento Comics was slowly percolating.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask, what was the spark that started you guys decide to do a publishing company?
Yeah, absolutely. So my mom and I actually moved out to LA, drove across country from Florida in 2017. Mm-hmm. My mom was so gracious enough to come out here with me, being, you know, having a 17-year-old daughter who wanted to pursue acting. She was like, I'm not going to send my daughter out there by herself. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. So I was very lucky enough that she came along with me for the ride and really believed in me enough and, you know, just wanted me to take the artistic journey, which I know was something she wasn't necessarily, you know, she didn't have the privilege of that, you know, encouragement growing up.
Yes.
And so it was really wonderful that we were kind of able to see the journey through the same lens together, if you will, you know, slowly going out on auditions, obviously knowing that Asian women in general, just severe underrepresentation within Hollywood and media. But slowly realizing that not only was this, you know, yearning for on-screen representation important, but we really started seeing the amazing amount of talented Asian female artists and writers and directors and producers, you know, stunt coordinators, everything on hair and makeup. And we realized this yearning for on-screen representation really has to start off-screen with women who look like us, who have our shared experiences, who can authentically tell our stories in our unique voice. And so we realized, you know, in order to show Hollywood that our stories deserve to be, you know, put up on the big screen, is that we needed to find some sort of, you know, community, some sort of, you know, team where we can, you know, actually create these stories ourselves, rather than wait for Hollywood to catch up and figure out, you know, what is Filipino culture? Who are Filipino women, Asian women? And so we decided, you know, why not just create that? Why not, you know, find some way to foster this talent and bring us all in the room together? And slowly, as we were just trying to decide, you know, what kind of stories do we want to share? What kind of, you know, what about our culture do we want to say and share with the world? As we were talking with Caitlin and conceptualizing the story, coming just across Filipino mythology and how vibrant it was, we realized that we wanted to put our epic of it. We needed visuals to accompany, you know, just this thing that we wanted to create. And naturally, comics was, you know, the medium that we were drawn to share this story.
And then, Caitlin, I'm going to ask, so how did you get involved in all this?
I think Cecilia, we were all on Slack, and how would you like to for a series about a superheroine? And I thought, oh, wow, that's interesting. So I said, yeah, I would love to be like that. And it's kind of dwindled down, take on a magnet. So I remember we were having spring and then in May. So that's how I got on board.
Waverly, I'm going to ask you, what does cuento mean? Because there's a meaning behind this.
Yes. Cuento, the company was named by my mom, and cuento means story in Tagalog. One of the many languages in the Philippines.
Yes. Because I know they have Ilocano.
Yes, lots of dialects. In our story, because it takes place in Cebu, we have quite a bit of Cebuano as well in our book.
Oh, okay. And I will come around regarding the dialects and the language a little bit later. I think you can, and I'll ask about that later.
Yeah.
Now, Waverly, I'm going to ask you, this is a dumb question. So how did you and your mom assemble? You've already got Caitlin on board.
Yes.
How did you assemble your amazing creative team? Because on your website, there's a lot of other writers and artists.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, Caitlin, we were lucky enough that she had a wonderful best friend who was, you know, just perfect for the project. And Caitlin had already been bouncing ideas while she was starting to conceptualize and write our series, was already bouncing ideas off of our editor, Jennifer Zhang. And naturally, it was just fitting. All of her ideas were just brilliant. And she was really helping take all the, you know, just ideas from Caitlin's brain and really like, you know, just structure them into the story. And so Caitlin approached us of bringing her on board, and we're like, yes, absolutely. And Jen has just since then grown into the editor, art supervisor extraordinaire at Cuento. And she really does a great job at taking the script that Caitlin has written and making sure that vision comes to life through the artwork and working with the artists and everything. So she was a very, very important key player in assembling Team Cuento. And then finding the artists was definitely a bit of a challenge, you know, to find Asian women artists. We really had to search, and we did it through lots of different platforms, through Facebook and Instagram and just different, just tapping into kind of, you know, different networks. It was really important to us that, you know, we really didn't care, you know, where they were. But we did think it was important that, you know, our team members, you know, some of them resided in the Philippines for cultural accuracy, since our comic book does take place in the Philippines.
Yes.
We thought it was super important that we had at least some team members in the Philippines to, you know, cross-reference a lot of cultural things that we were embedding into the books. And so we were lucky enough. Our first artist that we found actually was Kat Leno, who is so talented. She is our cover artist for issue one and has worked on DC titles before. Currently has also worked on Castlevania. And she was really wonderful in helping us find our other kind of network of artists as well. And then, you know, artists refer other artists and their friends, and, you know, it just slowly becomes, you know, a melting pot of, you know, all the artists that we currently have today. But yeah, through social media, through references, all of that good stuff. And I'm happy to say that our team is a global team, spanning, again, we have artists in the Philippines, here in the States. We've had artists from Canada,
Wales,
France, all over the world. So I really love that we are a global team, and that technology allows us to do so.
Yes, that is. Yes. Caitlin, I'm going to ask you, and Waverly, please jump in. So how did you guys start spreading the word about your publishing company?
Ooh, oh, wow. That's like might, a fun marketing yeah, question.
I can answer that. I don't really know, honestly.
Caitlin's like, I write?
I don't know. Yeah.
And I come to these podcasts when they tell me to.
Show up to the meetings when they tell me to.
She's such a good team player. Yeah. So lots of different ways. Obviously, Comic-Cons have been such mm-hmm. a huge help in, you know, spreading the word and getting the word out there. We're so lucky enough. Our head of social media, Cherry, is actually in Manila, in Cavite. So we're lucky enough that she actually not only helps us with the social media and the marketing mm-hmm. aspect of thing, which is equally as important now, just being the digital mm-hmm. agent, but she's able to attend the local Comiket events out mm-hmm. in the Philippines there. Yeah. So we ship a huge Balak Bayan box of comic books over to the Philippines, and she's out there boothing and tabling. And she just does such a wonderful job with helping us to connect to an audience and fan base mm-hmm. in the Philippines organically, which is really wonderful. And then out here, I mean, we only launched officially last year, March of 2022, for Women's Herstory Month. And since then, have attended lots of different conventions. We've done Florida SuperCon. We've done WonderCon. We did San Diego and New York this year for the time. Long Beach, LA. So really hitting the ground running on the organic circuit of the comic conventions and everything has been really wonderful to connect with fan bases from everywhere, which has been fun. So.
And Waverly, you mentioned a very important, a key thing that I forgot to ask about, because I'm going to slowly get into the Kickstarter, is that you guys launched this Kickstarter particularly for this month of October. Why is that?
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say that at Cuento Comics, we are continuing to make Phil-Am history. And so what better way to celebrate that than a special treat for all of our fans who have been so eager for a graphic novel version of our first five issues of our book, then to launch on Filipino American History Month and really celebrate all the beautiful hard work of, you know, the ladies at Cuentos, really, again, Caitlin and the writing team and Jen, and then all of the incredible artists that we have mm-hmm. being able to put it all in a beautiful deluxe hardbound for everyone is super exciting. And so we're happy that that audiences and fans can now read, you know, issues 1 through 5.
Mm-hmm. Now, Caitlin, this is the perfect segue. The Mask of Hylia, the Heir to the Warrior Moon. What is the story about?
Well, the story essentially is about a and her arriving a narcissistic mother just so happens to coincide with the death of family matriarch. It's also before you have a few generally, which is kind of a Catholic practice, family respects by coming to the house and staying up, you know, watching the dead. And it's
an open door.
Open door scenario. Mm-hmm. It's at this event where two things happen. And a sister cousin, also mysterious.
Caitlin, you've written so many mysterious characters.
I know, right? It's just a never-ending mystery. I don't know what's going on.
You're like, I'm going to get there. I'm gonna show the audience at some point. I'm going to reveal things to you guys. Don't worry.
It's going to happen eventually. The mysterious older cousin Isla, who seems to be the black sheep of the family and seems to have a kind of rocky past. And then she also discovers a mask at the wake, which should grant her of a pre-colonial past that she inexorably seems to. So once she gets a hold of the mask, all these differences and weird things start following her. Chaos kind of unravels from there. So
all connected and larger to a specific Filipino
myth. Yeah. Sorry, that's probably the most important part. So the series is inspired by Filipino myths or pre-colonial religions, one of which is the Bicolano about Hylia and B7 and Bakuna, who can say swallowed all the moons in the sky, which were siblings, and then the last moon that escaped was Hylia. She's the moon in the sky, so she's like a warrior moon arch nemesis. That's kind of the long and short of that
And every once in a while, Bakuna will try to eat the last remaining moon goddess, Halia, and that's why we have a lunar eclipse in the sky.
Yeah.
So Bakuna was coming soon because we have a lunar eclipse coming up.
Oh my God. Yeah, and so ancient Filipinos used to come outside and bang on pots and pans during lunar eclipses to scare Bakuna away. Yeah. So that eventually when the lunar eclipse ended, they you know, congratulated themselves. Like, we scared him away successfully. Yeah. And
Caitlin, should we do that this lunar eclipse?
Oh my gosh.
Should we just go out on Hollywood Boulevard and bring pans toward Bakuna away?
We could. I have pans. I've got iron pots and pans here. But the main character, Mari, I mean, it's that'd not
pretty. Wait, Caitlin, we should do that. That'd be a pretty funny like marketing thing to put on like our Instagram.
We could. I mean, I'm all about making a show, man. You know, like Mist and...
And there's then people like, are like, who are these girls? And then they're like, oh, this is part of their series. We get it.
Wait, hold on. Maybe we should. Like, actually, during a lunar eclipse, we...
Yeah, there. No, it's happening
in... They don't need to know this, but...
No, it's happening in 3 days. You guys are hearing the behind the scenes of
behind how the meetings happen. We should make a TikTok or an Instagram video where we're literally banging pots and pans.
Is that all right, Caitlin? Come over to my place.
We'll talk about it.
I think that's hilarious.
I think it could be interesting.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I love this. This is great. Thank you for that. Was great. Yeah. I love it.
You got to go with the organic ideas and run with it. That's how the best marketing happens.
Yeah, but to answer your question, Jason, the main character Mari, she's essentially a Halia.
Okay.
That's why
spoiler alert.
People figure it out already. Yeah. So, she's a reincarnation.
So actually, Caitlin, I'm gonna ask you. So how did you guys choose this story? Did you guys have at least two or three other stories, but you were kind of going, no, I think this would be the front, you know, this would be the best one to basically, you know, to start off with?
No, actually. I'm not that creative, Jason. I did what I could. I'm just kidding. Cecilia, Waverly's mom, had the germ, right? Mm-hmm. And at the time, Waverly, your grandma had recently died.
Not recently. There was a family connection. Just the story that my mom had always held near and dear to her heart. My Lola had this ring. Mm-hmm. That was an opal ring, which was her and I's birthstone. And because we were born in the same month and this Lola, helped raise me a lot. I was very, very connected to her. So when she passed, that image of that ring always stuck with me. And the exact, scene that you see in the first issue of Halia is very similar to what happened to me. My aunt came out and said, here's all of her, like, insane amount of collection of jewelry, everyone, you know, all the cousins, all the nieces and nephews,
yes.
Pick one. And so I picked out that exact ring and she had arthritis. So she literally, it's just so, such a specific memory. She literally, like a Filipina Lola, had like what you used to like wrap like bread and stuff with, like she had that.
Yeah,
she had that like woven in her ring and on her finger so that it would like stay on. It was like kind of the most insane thing ever. So the fact that like they found the ring that she always wore and everything, I was like, oh my gosh, that's the piece of her that I wanted. And my mom just had this funny idea, like, what if that ring held family knowledge, like history of the Philippines past? Just it was a relic that held, you know, special abilities. And then Caitlin, you know, took those two seedlings of an idea of a Filipina teenage superheroine. Cause at that time I was doing stunts and martial arts and that was a role that I would have loved to play when, you know, people ask you when you're like a kid or you're a young actor, oh, what role would you love to play? And I was like, if I could get my hands on a meaty action role, I would die for that. And so my mom's like, all right, well, let's create one. Yeah. And so that's really what happened. And then Caitlin literally just took those two ideas and ran with it, found the mythology. And then that ring eventually was turned the mask because it worked so well with the mythology that Halia had already had I guess it's not in the original myth, but kind of a fan following. I don't know, Caitlin, you can explain it better about the mask. Yeah, the mask wasn't originally part of the original Bicolano myth, but came about later on.
Yeah, so Waverly's mom pitched me the idea of a ring that the wearer can go back in time and see.
Yes.
So I went online, tried to look up different goddess of vast mythology.
Mm-hmm.
So I found Pelea, who was not necessarily, you know, this is not fact that she Golano moon goddess, that Pelea is a moon ritual that was historically. And there are all these stories, fan fiction online, that mm-hmm. Pelea had a golden mask, a mask made of pure gold that she wore to hide herself from her enemies, mm-hmm. to hide herself from Bakunawa, right?
Mm-hmm.
It kind of came out that I talked to some professors and there's no evidence that she, yes. in the oral traditions or written traditions, had mm-hmm. a mask. But there is an ancient tradition within certain Asian and Southeast Asian, Taiwan, mm-hmm. Asia, of golden funerary masks,
mm-hmm.
like you put the mask over the dead to accompany them into the afterlife, mm-hmm. right? And this could potentially be a root from which the mythos grew,
yeah. right?
So we took it and ran. The series yeah. is called The Mask of Pelea. You can read our glossary and extra bonus material for more historical tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the new book. You guys can check. So yeah.
There's lots of fun goodies in the new book, I must
yeah,
say.
Oh yeah. You guys did a great job with that, by the way. So, bonus.
Yes. Yeah. A whole art book just for all of the readers out there.
Yeah. Plus bonus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And bonus pages too.
Bonus pages. Yeah.
So lots of fun new things for people who have the comics that would mm-hmm. want to dive deep and to grab the graphic novel that they'll be presented with so many new fun new pages.
I'm going to ask an off-the-cuff question. I'm hopefully I'll make sounds like it makes sense. But because Caitlin, when you did this research, Waverly, you talked about your grandmother's, you know, death and the ring. While working on this comic book, did it make you guys feel more in touch with your cultural root? And let me say that, and let me kind of give a little preface to this, because you know when I'm reading, you know when I went over your resumes and so forth, it's and I'm not criticizing or anything, but because even with me, I still have more of the westernized, I've grown up, but doing the research, coming up with this story, did it make you feel more in touch with your cultural?
100% in more ways than not. I think a lot of my mom included, growing up as, you know, a Filipina in Illinois, you know,
yes.
She grew up with like five Filipino families at the time. I grew up in South Florida where, you know, there wasn't a large Filipino community. I was lucky enough to live with my grandparents, with my Lolo and Lola, who instilled in me, you know, culture and food and whatnot. But it really wasn't until I came out to LA and had to find the community for myself,
yes.
the family community here, which inspired me and my mom to create Cuento Comics. And I think that's what's really beautiful is that I think a lot of, in different ways, not speaking for everyone, but just being Asian American and growing up, especially when you don't grow up with the community around you, you mm-hmm. feel the pressures of assimilation that much more. And so like probably the most beautiful like thing that came out of me moving from, you know, across country to LA was not that, you know, we created Cuento or that, you know, I, you know, found, you know, more passion for different art forms and theater, mm-hmm. whatever. It was literally everything that I do now is because of the root of me realizing that I needed to connect with my culture
mm-hmm.
and like my identity in relation to that and what I wanted to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's beautiful is, you know, encouraging, you know, Asian Americans and whatever, you know, find your community that mm-hmm. you know, makes you feel empowered about your identity so that you can use that to, you know, build a platform for change mm-hmm. or be the change that, you know, you want to see. Now for me, you know, I was, you know, a young kid just wanting to tell stories. Now it means so much more to me. Now I'm like, all right, how do I put like my culture on the map? How do I put my community on the map?
Yeah.
So in more ways than one, again, even when I was at UCLA, I was taking a bunch of Asian American studies courses, women, immigration, all of that stuff. That allowed me to do the work that I do at Cuento in a meaningful, deep way. And then I think even Caitlin and I, Caitlin can tell you more about her trip to the Philippines, but Right after I graduated from UCLA, I went to the Philippines with my mom, and that was literally such an eye-opening, like, crazy experience for me. Just being in a going to the Philippines as an adult for the first time, and like stepping into the motherland, mm-hmm. and seeing everything with a different eye that you may have not appreciated or had, mm-hmm. hadn't I really done the work prior to taking that trip out there. So, yeah, lots of fun stuff. And the mythology too. I mean, yeah, there's so many Filipinos that don't even know our own. I didn't know it either, unless you grew up with like the mom who was scaring you with like the duendes and the aswangs at night. But my mom was a lot more like assimilated into, you know, Western culture, and I did not get that. So now being able to explore a completely different, you know, part of our culture too has been so much fun.
Caitlin, do you want to add anything to that? Or you talk about your experience?
I as well. I didn't know that about you, Waverly. I didn't have a lot of...
Oh my gosh, not at all. We had a Filipino American community organization in South Florida, but it, like, again, it doesn't, like, when you're younger, it didn't really go past food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, and like the little cultural things, but like I couldn't speak to like my grandparents in their native language and stuff like that. Like those dialectical things, like I wish I could, you know.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I was lucky. I went to, had a lot of community. I grew up in Hispanic, and even the church I went to was a Filipino church. And there were a lot of family, the racial population. Mm-hmm. So, and yet, despite that, I had a lot of, like most Filipinos in general, I kind of had a lot of internal struggle with accepting who I was culturally. My parents they are immigrants, so they're not as assimilated as Lay's mom, our parents. But for me, I didn't really have access. I'd been to the Philippines a few times, but that was a Filipino-Americans class in college. That was suddenly when it dawned on me, wait, it can be cool to be Filipino. It's not something to be embarrassed about.
Yes.
And when Cecilia asked me to be part of this project, and I had to come up with the whole story, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, I just do, because all the stories that I do want to tell have nothing to do with race. And if they did, they had nothing to do with Filipinos.
Yes.
So I took it as an opportunity to delve. I'm not saying I'm some big professor expert. I'm not at all. But in order to tell a good story, especially if it was going to be set in, it's important to people from that country. So I went on a like a research trip last year. We went all throughout the archipelago, interviewed a lot of artists, interviewed people who were kind of experts in their field. And I've talked to them. I even went to different sites to get videos and pictures. And, you know, I had a spreadsheet looking at all the local cuisine and trying things out. And I borrowed books, many books, and just did a lot of Googling. So for me, except where I'm from, in a way that I would never have had the do before. Had a
Waverly, Caitlin, thank you very much for answering that question. Thank you. I'm gonna slowly start wrapping things. I've got a few more questions. So Waverly, how did you guys team up with Clover Press?
Oh my gosh, so lucky and fortunate enough to be in partnership and collaboration with them. We actually met Hank, who's part of the Clover Press publishing team over there at WonderCon, through a mutual friend, who said, hey, stop by their booth. You're Filipino American. They're all Asian, female team, primarily a lot of Filipinas. Go check them out, see what you think. And before then, we had been doing everything totally bootstrapped, going individually one by one to comic book stores, totally indie. And a lot of that had to do with, we wanted to test the market, see how our audience was, before, you know, trying to go the major distribution route, going through the Lunar and the Diamonds and all of them. Because again, as an indie one, comic books are, take some time to, produce, and there are costs involved with that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so getting a huge chunk of that profit, taken right off the bat, as soon as it's in the stores is definitely a lot for a small, indie startup, who's just starting out. But we've gotten to a place now where we're lucky enough to have built, a readership and fan base, And we're definitely, we were at that point in time, we were ready to kind of take the next step and look for something, you know, so, you know, a group that could really help us take, you know, Cuento to the next level, more eyeballs, more readership, you know, help us with, you know, that nationwide distribution. Cause we couldn't stay cold calling these comic book stores forever. And so we were really, really fortunate that Hank came and from the Clover team met us at our booth at WonderCon. And we just connected so well. I think, again, the fact that our story was a Filipino and Filipino American story, and he was also Filipino, and he had worked at DC for a number of years. And so I'm sure he didn't see very many inherently Filipino stories come through. And so
yes.
I'm sure that was also a breath of fresh air as well. And so we were really fortunate enough that he took a chance on us and, you know, saw, you know, the work that we were doing and how we were trying to, you know, uplift the Filipino American community through comics.
Yes.
And really helped us out with creating this, you know, deluxe graphic novel and the Kickstarter. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be just the first of many more projects to come from our part. We're really, really excited. And we feel like we're
That's good. That's really nice. Caitlin, this question is going to be for you, but let me just preface the question first. I know, like, some comic books in the actually within the last couple of years, and probably longer, but like we have one of our local comics publishing companies, Mana Comics, that came out with a one-shot comic book that focused on King Kamehameha. That was translated, there's an English and Hawaiian version. And I know through Fanbase Press, Four Color Heroes, writer-artist Richard Fairgray, it is released in English and Maori language. Now, Caitlin, are there any plans to release, has this already been done? Has the book been released in Tagalog?
No, it hasn't. And I can't remember whether there was talk of...
Yeah, well, that's something that we're definitely open to doing in the future, especially for our audience.
That might be interesting. Yeah, have it in support, maybe.
But
one of the main characters, though, there would... Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess you could easily translate it such that she doesn't...
Or even still that it's just in, you know, the language, too.
Yeah, but even because, like, as Waverly said, there's going to be more stuff coming out from Cuento, so you never know, like... Mm-hmm.
Maybe but currently our comic book does include little bits of Cebuano here and there as well. So
yeah, because kind of like Spanglish, you know, Spanish, code switch half the time and then mix it with like Tagalog, which is Taglish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why we that endpoint, just because it is kind of realistic.
Yes.
But we didn't want to confuse readers with anything that was, if there's too many words that are not English, it's difficult to pick up.
Yes, yeah, I understand.
We have a glossary in the back now that defines.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm going to ask you, like, what happens if someone misses out on this Kickstarter? Because I know Cuento Comics has a website. Can they go and pre-order it after the campaign has been fulfilled?
So after the campaign is over, there will be a link dedicated to that, to the page, that will allow people to order the book even after the campaign. So do not fear, but please, if you are interested in grabbing our graphic novel, definitely go grab that, you know, on our Kickstarter before it's over.
Let's see. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is off the cuff question because I just forgot to add this in, but also too, if someone wants to pick up individual issues, it's also available on the website too. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yes. You can catch us at, you know, the conventions that we're going to, which we always post on social media and on our website, which ones we'll be at. And then also, of course, you can order on our website at www.cuentocomics.com.
Waverly, I'm going to ask you this question and I'm going to ask Caitlin to chime in. Just like realistic goals, you know, like, where do you guys see Cuento Comics 5 years from now? Like, what kind of stories do you want to tell?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. so many places. First off, I hope, you know, with the Mask of Halea in 5 years, we can continue to come up with, we're already working on a few different things that are in the works that I will, that's all I can say. Yeah. But taking the Mask of Phalia, you know, onto, you know, making it multimedia different, you know, whether that be digital, maybe an animation, maybe a game, maybe, you know, who knows? But definitely working on expanding the Mask of Phalia past comic books. And then also we are currently working on a new series as well, which we're super excited about, which deals with a completely different Philippine mythos as well. And that one also deals with new creatures and monsters that aren't explored in Halia because we already have so many in that one. So there's so many to do. And then also I'd love to eventually expand our stories to cover Asian mythology from other countries and regions as well. So hopefully, again, just more stories, more badass female heroines. Can I say that on this podcast?
Yes.
That was a shirt.
I know. Sometimes I like do not have a filter. Yes. That's... more badass women dominating your pages and saving the day.
Caitlin, what about you? What kind of stories do you want to, that you're hoping to write in the next 5 years?
For myself or?
Or not for, through Cuento Comics, I should say.
I mean, I would like to continue with Halia. It's a lot. I
don't think people know how epic of a narrative Caitlin has written.
It's a lot. It's a big commitment. And proper funding and support that can really help sort of escalate the process or accelerate the process rather. So my hope is that perhaps where that branches off in other forms of things. Hint.
Yes. In 5 years, I hope we have, you know, lots more issues out. Caitlin, you can probably tell, I mean, how much we have, how many issues we have planned for the first, you know, season one arc.
First arc.
Oh, okay. That's good. Yeah.
We have lots more writing to do. Yeah. And lots, so many more characters that we have been dying to introduce fans to, I think, as well. Caitlin.
All right. I'm slowly wrapping things up. Three more questions. Caitlin, I'm going to start off with you. What was your favorite convention moment?
Favorite convention? You know, this wasn't a convention, but the first time I got to sell along about a year ago, we were in civil. And seeing everybody hauling ass. The copies were flying off the dang shelves. And seeing that we sold out before everyone.
Yes.
Was incredible. I just... And every convention I attended after that was kind of this, not to brag or anything, but it was kind of the same thing every time. We were just like selling out. And my favorite moment at the LA Convention Center last December. This group of like seventh grade girls, I don't even think any of them were Filipino, but they were all Asian. They came up to us freaking out, acting like we were celebrities or something like that, just saying, this is amazing. I can't wait to buy this whole series. And then they said, we're going to come back and bring our friends. I didn't think they were serious, but they came back and brought a group of girls and their moms.
That's like the coolest thing, is to see people like bring their, they're like, oh, my friends love this, or, oh, this would be a great gift. Oh, I have to, oh, my Filipino. And then like bring them back the next day or like a few hours later and have all of their friends buy. And it's just like the camaraderie around it, people genuinely believing just before they've even read the story, just being excited that the team exists. I'm like,
The fact, and here's another thing. The sheer number of people who are interested and buy from us, not just like issue one or two, but a lot of things, the merchandise and the books, who are not even Asian, not even women, not even girls.
Yeah, like may not be like necessarily like the target, like, oh, like maybe we'll reach this person.
So far target audience.
But like, it literally just be like, like the older white man who, you know, wants to support, you know, our team. And then we'll come back the next day and actually have read the book and genuinely be like, I related to this on so many more ways than.
Yeah, or like writing us letters saying like, I think I like cried or something. Not me, but the person writing the letter was like this older white man.
Yeah, or like I connected to the character and it reminded me of my mom. And
I was like, what?
Yeah, that it's resonating with people on a personal level. I'm like, it genuinely blows my mind every time. Because I'm like, because when we first wrote this, we were like, if this just touches one person,
we thought maybe it'd be like a little cute thing to shop around the community.
Yeah.
But it ended up being this thing where it just started kind of growing and the press started finding out and people started finding. I think it was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my favorite moments.
Just a testament to Caitlin's amazing writing.
No, listen, Waverly, it doesn't matter. You could be JK Rowling, but if you don't got the marketing, I know this because I've joined so many publishing groups. If there's no marketing or there's no team behind so it's a joint effort, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good thing Caitlin makes the marketing easy. We're like, we don't have to tell you guys too much, but it's a good.
You don't have to bribe people to write reviews.
Yeah.
Imagine. Oh, it happens.
All right, I'm going to throw this question out there. Whoever wants to answer first, but I'm going to ask, but I want both of you to answer this. And we've already asked this already in pre-interview, but have you and your family been to Hawaii?
Yes. Oh my gosh. It's been way too long. I think I was like 12 years old, still wearing Justice at the time. Mm-hmm. So the pictures were not as glam as I would make them now. That's for sure. That is such a ridiculously stupid answer. No, but I really loved, although I was like so freaking young when I went last time, we went to the Big Island and Oahu. Mm-hmm. And I remember my mom bought this book that was like, this is where the locals say to go.
Yeah.
And everything in that book was all the places that the rental car map told you not to take.
Yeah.
So naturally, of course, we follow this book.
Yeah.
And I am such a big banana fan. I am banana's number one stan. And so there was this like little like shack cafe that makes like the best banana bread, like deep in the mountains of, I don't even remember what island we were, but you had to take like this one way road for 45, like in, like weaving in and out of the mountains. And my dad is a very, very good driver. And I've never seen him so scared driving. He's literally like driving on this one way and looking over like, oh my gosh, I am literally on a cliff.
Oh, but
genuinely the best banana bread is in.
Wait a minute. That must be Maui, the road to Hana.
No, it's not the road to Hana. It's the other one because I get car sick. So we couldn't do the road to Hana. It was another. I should have came prepared with the name.
No, that's all right.
I will email you which road that was that we ended up doing. It was so long. It was 10 plus years ago now, but it was just so funny that we really traveled that far just to get the best banana bread in the world. Why?
You almost risked your lives.
Yeah.
Yep.
Going back
to like, family. Listen, we're foodies. We will travel like
we will go
the distance for the best whatever it is.
Oh man.
Caitlin, what about you?
Yeah, I went to Hawaii when I was my school was fancy. We had a senior trip to Hawaii.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole class. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
No, trust me, it's not that impressive. We had to raise it. Like we were fundraising since we were like freshmen, you know?
Uh-huh.
No, that is even more impressive.
Yeah. So we would have to put on things and we had collected funds. And then by the time we have the money for our trip. So everybody went almost the whole class and, we were in Oahu.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. We were in Oahu and, Honolulu and really fun. I'm trying to remember, it's so long ago now that the memories are starting to fade, but, I just remember it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been there a couple times as pit stops at the airport, but that doesn't count. So I think I'm overdue for a trip to Hawaii. My friend asked me to come with her in December, but
Jason said that there's some conventions there, so if we can figure out a way to bring Quento.
There's a big Filipino population in Hawaii. So.
Oh yes, it's because it I mean,
be good.
Yes.
I think that'd be wonderful for us to take the book over.
Maybe I'll swim there. I just don't like flying. I don't know. So much anxiety.
Yeah, like how long would that take?
I don't know, but I've considered taking ships.
Yeah.
Like,
you can do a cruise.
There's gotta be alternatives to fly. My anxiety is so bad when I fly. I've watched too many like documentaries about planes. So, a boat I can.
Oh yeah.
Right, so we'll just have to plan in advance, and then it might take you like, is it 15 days? from LA?
I think it's like 5 days, one
five night. 5 days, that's it?
Yeah. Amazing. I want to say five. I could be wrong.
Okay, yeah. I think we'll put you on
a cruise. Is it cheaper?
Probably not cheaper than a flight.
It's not cheaper, right?
No.
No, I don't think.
Okay. I'll take a train to Hawaii.
Project get Waverly and Caitlin to Hawaii.
Don't like flying. I don't like it at all.
All right. Last question. Waverly, any closing words to our listeners?
Closing words. Honestly, I hope that, but from listening to us today, that you know, Asian women are inspired to, you know, pursue a path in the creative arts. I think we kind of talked about this before we started, but a lot of us are not always encouraged to, you know, mm-hmm. pursue the creative direction, mm-hmm. you know, and follow that within our lives. Typically, you know, we're encouraged to pursue, you know, the more traditional pathway, the more stable pathway. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, by pursuing the thing that, you know, makes your heart beat at the end of the day and makes mm-hmm. you excited to get up in the morning. I mean, like, that's what like life is really all about. Right. And so I just, you know, hope that people are inspired, regardless of being Asian or a woman, just, you know, in general, to mm-hmm. Be brave enough to pursue a mm-hmm. life in the arts, because it is so rewarding for mm-hmm. yourself.
Caitlin, what about you? Any closing words?
Yeah, just piggybacking off of, mm-hmm. I've learned this of not win who wants to be proactive, mm-hmm. And that means yourself mm-hmm. and believe. Mm-hmm. So important. If that means mm-hmm. people reach that kind of growth, all the better. Mm-hmm. So find your tribe, find your people. And
there are too many stories out there that have yet to be told. So go yes. out and do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do Don't yeah. Be the one, be the change you want to the comic book world and the
in all the world.
Yeah.
Waverly, Caitlin, mahalo. Thank you in Hawaiian. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to interview. And also to thank you very much for sharing a little bit of, you know, what you guys went through growing up. Just thank you very much. Thank you very much. I wish Cuento Comics continued success with the latest Kickstarter, The Mask of Halea, Hair to the Warrior Moon. And I also I want to take time to thank Hannah Superfan Promotions for help setting up this interview. Hannah, again, thank you very much. Now, if you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader, as Waverly and Caitlin has mentioned, you know, their book is it's reaching everybody. It's not just a certain segment of the population. It's touching everybody. So I encourage you to please check out The Mask of Halea, Hair to the Warrior Moon Kickstarter. This campaign ends on Thursday, November 2nd. But if you miss it, now, Waverly, Caitlin, I'm being serious on this. Listeners, if you do miss this Kickstarter, and if you are an Asian parent who wants your children to learn about their culture, you know, one, either please consider backing this Kickstarter, or if you missed this Kickstarter, check out their website and give this to, you know, to your children as a special gift or a birthday gift to, again, let them learn a little bit more about their culture, to learn about not only their culture, but different cultures too as well. And maybe that'll help them to explore their cultures, their cultural background. I want to thank Drew, the host of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And if you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
Yay!
Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfundprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. RLCS is Cowabunga Comics, Lake Country, Wisconsin's best pop culture destination for new comics, back issues, gaming, retro video games, vinyl, and figures. Give them a call, 262-569-9999. Check them out online at cowabungacomics.com or follow them on Twitter at Incredical. They are our LCS, and we utilize their deep discount mail order service to bring Oconomowoc, Wisconsin closer to us. They'll take care of you. Tell them Drew and Kyle sent you. Say hi to Eric and James from us. If you need an LCS, you can't go wrong with Cowabunga Comics.